Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
Come receive the light in God's Kafenion. This is Bishop Haralambos. From now on, you can just call me Bishop Hara, and our program will be coming to you
with treasure stories about our Lord every Sunday morning at 9:30.
My dear Christian fellow brothers and fellow sisters in Christ, dear children of the resurrection, today is a very, very, very special day for all of us who believes that our God came in the flesh, overcame death for us, died for our sins, and more importantly, resurrected. Literally, he came back to life. Let me begin today with the Mount of Transfiguration. That was a preview of the resurrection. Jesus himself said that there should be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. After he said these words, 6 days passed. Then Jesus took Peter and James and John with him, and he took them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. They were all alone. And there, in a very strange manner, he was transfigured before them. It was the preview to the resurrection. His raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, as though no laundryman, no one could bleach and make his clothes so white. And then there appeared Elijah and Moses. And then they began talking with Jesus, the previewed Mount of Transfiguration, resurrected Christ. Peter answered and said to his master, "It is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now he said this because he started getting a little bit fearful looking at the resurrected Christ. Hopefully today's program, after what's being said, none of us will be afraid of the fact that we can come back to life again from these earthly bodies. And then there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and out of that cloud came a voice, and it said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." That was God the Father, the throne of heaven, speaking. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore except for Jesus, who was only with themselves. As the apostles looked upon this, they saw only Christ, Elijah, and Moses. And Moses, we know, died before he entered into the promised land. Elijah had a fantastic escape. One of God's spaceships came down and picked him up and carried him to heaven, body and soul and spirit together, not seeing death. And as they came down the mountain, Jesus charged the apostles and told them to tell no man about these things, not until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Now here Christ was proclaiming in a prophetic way his resurrection. This legacy has lived on even today, making us Christians. Christians that know the life to come is a sweet life, a resurrected life. Well, let's talk about the body of Christ. Christ himself, I mean, his body. Indeed, his body as he was crucified, his body as it came down, his body as Arimathea, Joseph of Arimathea, placed into a burial cave, wrapping him. Let us read from Scripture. We know that Arimathea bought fine linen, and he took him down and he wrapped him in the linen. And Joseph of Arimathea placed him into a sepulchre, which is now the Holy Sepulchre. It was hewn, it was a perfect cave. And then he rolled a stone with all his strength into the door of the sepulchre. And that, of course, was the burial place of Christ. As we read on in Scripture, we know that when he resurrected, prior to his death on the cross, he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But let's talk about the body itself. Our God in the flesh. What he said when he resurrected. We know that the Lord has risen indeed, that appeared to Simon, and were told many things and how they were done. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them when they were discussing the past. And what did Christ say? The resurrected Christ. The same message he gives us today. Peace. Irene. Peace be unto you. And yet, the original apostles were terrified and affrighted, and they thought they'd seen his spirit. Now, herein lies some confusion that I pray today's program will help all of us out. If we truly are spirit and we're housed in this body, when Christ resurrected, was he only spirit? Or was he body and spirit? Did his flesh come back as he overcame death and was in a resurrected form? Well, let's not forget what we just heard and read from the Mount of Transfiguration, which he was there, although he was transformed, white as snow, with the apostles marveling at what they saw. And there he spoke with Elijah, who we know never saw death, and Moses, who did see death, but yet was in a resurrected form, speaking with Christ, that was a preview. So let us ask ourselves at this moment, what is going to happen to us? Are we going to be like angels? Are we going to be flesh? Are we going to be just spirit? We know that Christ has told us that we are spiritual beings, that God the Father created us spiritual beings and then wrapped us around with the bodies we carry today that obviously decay as days go by, as we see ourselves getting older and older. After all, we're not blind. We can look in the mirror and see that we're aging. But our spirits grow. Our spirits are lifted up. What happened when the apostles were terrified and frightened when they thought they saw a spirit when Christ, right in the midst of them in a closed room, what did Christ say to them as he appeared? Simple words, loving words. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Look, behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. See, handle me. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me to have. And therein goes the confusion of some theology today. Was Christ just a spirit? We know we're spirits. We know that when we decease this world, that our spirits leave these bodies and we decay as dust. But you see, the true essence, the true theology is Christ, the firstborn, never decayed in the earth, overcame death, resurrected. The full meaning of resurrection wasn't just that he came back to life. The full meaning of Christ's resurrection is that he maintained a new body, flesh and bones. And he even said, handle me. I'm not just a spirit. I have resurrected and overcome death. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that when he was in the sepulchre, strange things happened. Before his resurrection, we know that when Peter came in with John, after being told that the tomb was empty, he stooped down, looking in, and he saw the linen clothes that were lying there that Joseph of Arimathea had planted. And what happened when Simon Peter went into the sepulchre, seeing the linen clothes? Herein lies some very, very revealing, yet in some cases disturbing, witness and facts in the Holy Scriptures. It states in verse 7 of chapter 20 in the Gospel of John that the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but was separate and wrapped together in a place by itself. That brings a very confusing acceptance to the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin, as it's described, is a 14-feet piece of cloth that was under Christ and wrapped over the top of him. But what Peter saw in the sepulchre was two pieces, a napkin that was about his head, and it wasn't lying with the linen clothes, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. Then why are we even considering the Shroud of Turin as being the true cloth that buried Christ? Quite personal, as your Archbishop Haralambos, I believe that that is not a truth that is being told to us, that shroud is. And I pray to God that the Catholic Church never, never accepts it as being the true cloth. The mandilion, as we say in Orthodoxy, which is the napkin lying about his head, was a separate piece. So the Shroud of Turin could not be the cloth that covered Christ. There are two pieces, not one, 14 feet long, underneath and over him. But we know that when he came out of the sepulchre, Mary stood without outside of that sepulchre, and she was weeping because she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and saw nothing. This, of course, came after Peter, when he had gone in. Mary stood outside of the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and she saw two angels, very bright and white, one at the head, another at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain before. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my God, my Lord. I know not where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Just as she said that, she turned around. And there was Jesus, the resurrected Christ. She did not recognize him. She knew not that it was Jesus. And the resurrected God Christ said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom will you seek?" Now she supposed him that he was the gardener. She said unto him, "Sir, if you had been born hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. I will take him away." And then Jesus said unto her in his soft voice, "Mary, Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, then recognizing him in his voice immediately, she said, "Rabboni," that is to say, "Master." Then Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." Now that always astounds me when I read that in Scripture. For I know when doubting Thomas, the apostle, came after the resurrection and after Christ's first appearance in the closed room with the apostles, who Christ said, "Here I am, I'm real. Touch me, Thomas. Put your hand on the nail holes of my hand. Thrust your fingers into my side. Do you not feel a substance?" And of course, Thomas immediately, his spirit rose, his spirit was lifted, and he spoke the words, "My Lord, my God." He knew that the Christ resurrected was God himself. Now, this body that he felt always has puzzled me as an archbishop, a bishop, because here Thomas was allowed to touch him. And yet, as we read on in the Gospel of John, when Mary came upon him outside of the sepulchre, Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." It seems contradictory, does it not? But he said something that explained it. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters, in the resurrection. Christ said, "For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." I just love those words, and I believe that it explains our position in Christianity, because we know that, in fact, that if we look at the resurrection, we know that Jesus, who spoke even to Lazarus to come back in the resurrection, was a huge preview. We know that when Jesus arrived at Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And we also know that Martha, Lazarus's sister, or maybe even his wife, hurried to meet him. In spite of her confidence she always had in the power of Christ, Martha decided that she would have doubt in her heart and cried, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Oh, so it says it is her brother. Jesus answered properly and promptly, "Your brother will rise again. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That was Martha's faith speaking out, as all Jews believed in that time. But what Martha couldn't grasp is that the resurrection was standing right there before her. That is why Christ made the most of comforting and disclosure about himself when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Those are astounding words, because we know as he looked upon the tomb, he spoke and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, if Christ is the life of the world, then death always has to be the enemy and has to be destroyed. We all know that. Jesus' attitude before the tomb of Lazarus always shows us that death is tragic. It's even tragic today to us. Brothers and sisters, we know it's an abnormal event. And we know it's brought about by sin. That's why the very Son of God submitted himself to death in order to overcome it with his divine power and make possible for us to enjoy the fruits of his victory. Lazarus, come forth. We know that even in this resurrection, in Scripture proving to us that God can bring us back to life, in Lazarus' case, both body and spirit. But let's take the case of a witness who witnessed this miracle performed by Christ, should have always believed and passed this miracle on to the people of Israel, and yet they declined to believe it. We know that even miracles aren't always cures for unbelief. We certainly know that today. Some will not even believe even if one would have been risen from the dead. Remember Abraham's words to the rich man of the parable? Quote, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." Isn't that the ailment and sickness of the world today? They can't believe that death can be overcome. The world simply wants to still live in the darkness of doubt. And yet the resurrection of Lazarus that brought huge crowds on Palm Sunday, they also witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. But the Apostle John writes, even from that day on, the leadership, the Sanhedrin, the Israeli leadership of that day, they plotted to put him to death. They didn't understand the great miracle of Lazarus. And if Christ could do that, could he not bring himself back through the power of heaven? We know that the raising of Lazarus foreshadowed a much greater miracle when Christ's own resurrection, his victory over death. We know that in Lazarus' resurrection, even death by the sin of the enemy began to tremble, because they knew their time was narrow and forthcoming. We also know that as we have witnessed this great and holy week of our salvation, we must never lose sight of the fact that the great duel between light and darkness, between Christ and the enemy, took place during this sacred week that we've experienced. Our comfort is given by the knowledge that this duel that remains between good and evil and darkness and light takes place between two brilliant shafts of light. On one end, we know the shaft of light says, "Lazarus, a human man, come forth." And on the other end, the angel's words that announce us the everlasting victory brought to us by Christ himself. "He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." So let's pray that this great and holy day, our hearts are always made into a real place where the Lord lie at his passion. Always to taste again and again and again the ineffable joy of his glorious, glorious resurrection. And we also know that we'll never be angels. Let me read something from the Vero Beachside News. I'm quoting some answers that Billy Graham had to say, which I believe to be true. Yes, I know he's a Protestant brother, and he's one of the few times that I can really agree and wholeheartedly in my heart, respect and truth from this man. But we hear and see an individual write, "Dear Dr. Graham, do we become angels when we go to heaven?" And she answers her name by being GR. And Billy Graham's answer was, "We do not become angels in heaven," and that's true. Angels are a separate category of spiritual creature from us, created by God as ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. There is much to do and not understand about heaven, for heaven is far more glorious than anything we can ever imagine on this earth. And Billy Graham goes on to say, as the Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." I am sure we will be absolutely filled with wonder at heaven's glory when we enter to heaven's gates someday. We do know, however, that in heaven we will have spiritual bodies, bodies that will never experience pain or corruption. Right now we have earthly bodies, but someday we'll have new bodies, and that will be perfect and whole like Christ after the resurrection. And so the Bible says, "So shall we bear the witness of the man from heaven. We will see Christ and we will be like him." Brothers and sisters, that is the meaning of the resurrection. We too will be like Christ. We too will meet him in heaven. We too will join him in the wonderful wedding feast. And we know that that wedding supper, the wedding feast, he will drink wine again with us anew. The very communion that we drink this time, we commemorate the body and blood of Christ as the Holy Spirit brings it by supernatural power to the chalice. And that we believe as Orthodox Christians and true Christians in the faith and truth of Christ and the Word of God. Amen. I love you. I hope to hear from you. God bless you. Enjoy the resurrection.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges.
Please email us and give us your comments. We'll air them on the next show. Archangel Michael, ArchangelMichael, Michael, MichaeL, at msn.com.
I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.